O Lord, our God, you are the God of truth. You have spoken. Every word of yours is dependable. Not one single jot or tittle of your word shall fail to come to pass. We stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. O God, we are going to hear your word. We pray that you may incline our ears and our hearts to your word. May we receive your truth. Help us to honor you by respecting your word, receiving your word, and put your word into practice. Oh, that we may glorify you by our hearing and by obedience, by worship in church and by our service to you, day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn back to Psalm 115. Let me read to you this grand concluding psalm again. It begins with Hallelujah. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the tambourines and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, friends, I look at you. I can see that at least some of you have learned or have been trying to learn another language. And you know the frustration of not being able to pronounce some words in another language accurately. Well, that's part of life. We may spend years learning English, and yet we are conscious there are some words that we are not able to pronounce like the native speaking people. And whenever some of us speak, well, people know exactly where we come from, to our embarrassment. But there are some words that every single person can say accurately. Words like ma, pa, ha. And then there's one word in the Bible that every one of us can say exactly in the Hebrew. And that word is hallelujah. Can you say that? Say after me. Open your mouth. Hallelujah. And you've been saying Hebrew 100% accurately, correctly. Now let me read to you Psalm 150 again. In Hebrew, not the whole psalm, but just some words. And you can guess the meaning. Psalm 150 in Hebrew. Hallelujah. 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 Well, if you have been listening, you may like to ask me, what is who? Who in Hebrew is he? That's how we learn Hebrew. Who is he? I won't tell you that he is she and me is me. Okay, but this morning, who is he? So, hallelujah is praise you praise the loser, the woozer is you in the plural. You, ye people, praise him. Last year in our AIDS program, in our all age education program, we studied the Psalms together. And to those of us who have been able to attend, I'm sure that you agree with me, we learned a lot. But that's not the point. We've been blessed with knowing more about God's Word. We've been helped. And next week we're going to start the AIDS program again. And I hope you can join us. And next week we're going to conclude our series on the Psalms. And we're going to look at the grand finale of the book of Psalms. Psalms 146 to 150 are the hallelujah chorus in the Psalms. Some of you may remember that unforgettable hallelujah chorus in Mendelssohn's, Handel's oratorio Messiah. Hallelujah. How can we forget that once we have heard that hallelujah chorus? And last year we learned together, including myself, because if I got a chance at 10 A's, I learned that they are really helpful. We learned that in the book of Psalms, there is a progression of thought. There's a movement. I remember years ago, I was doing a Bible study in a home Bible study with some of our young people. They're no longer young. They have children, grown-up children now. And we were studying the Psalms together. And I told them, I hope one day I could have such a clear grasp of the Psalms that I can tell you, no matter which Psalm you say, let's say Psalm 50, I can tell you what it is about. And I thought, this is really difficult, isn't it? 150, lights on a Christmas tree. How can you know all the Psalms? But now I've got a handle to that. There's actually progression of thought in the Psalms. They're not random. They're moving to a grand conclusion. There are five books in the Psalms. Not by accident. And it took about at least 400 years for the Psalms to come all together, not counting Moses' Psalm in Psalm 90. But the whole process took over 400 years, a long process, overseen by God, the Holy Spirit. And the five books of the Psalms are harking back to the five books of Moses. Remember, we just finished the five books of Moses. The first five books of Moses, what are they? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the Torah, five books, five parts. And the five books of the Psalms are harking back to the five books of Moses. Everything in the Bible has a reason and a meaning. So there's a progression from Psalm 1 to Psalm 150. There is a progress, there is a movement. And this morning we learn the first thing from the Psalms is that the life of faith is a journey. The life of faith is a journey. And friends, frankly, it is a long journey. We got 150 Psalms, and they are quite a lot, isn't it? It really takes a lifetime to understand the Psalms. Every morning I try to read at least one psalm before I pray. And after I finish the whole psalms, I go back to Psalm 1, and there are still so many things I have to learn. The life of faith is a long journey for most believers. You don't just believe in Jesus, and then the next morning you enter into glory. It's a journey, a long journey. And it is a difficult journey. The life of faith can be difficult. It requires dogged perseverance. You and I are to persevere in this long journey. There are temptations, there are difficulties, there are setbacks. And it's a journey with many ups and downs. In the Psalter, all seasons of life are there. The days of youth, the days of illness, the days of old age. Days of joy, days of sadness. Days of shouting, days of grief. All the seasons of life are in the Psalms. The Psalms are not uniform. They are short Psalms. They are long Psalms. They are songs of lament. They are joyful songs of praise. It is a dangerous journey where the believer will meet with many enemies aiming at their utter destruction. The book of Psalms begins with Psalm 1, which is a psalm about meditation. Memorizing, meditating on God's word, that's the entrance to the Psalms. And then Psalm 2 is a psalm of conflict. All the world and the rulers come together against God and against the Messiah. That is the biblical philosophy of history. That is how we understand the world. The world is against God and Christ. And soon after the first two psalms, we meet with the many enemies of David who seek to destroy him. David, King David, had many enemies, and they sought not just to harm him, but to kill him and to take his kingdom. David was betrayed by his closest friend. Well, we hope we will never be betrayed by our closest friends. And you young people and children, I do hope you marry well. But we live in a time when all of a sudden a wife may discover she has been betrayed by her beloved husband. And she is now deserted. I say, I hope it will never happen to us, but it may, and you can never tell. The Psalms talks about the burden of guilt. Psalmists know that trouble. And there are Psalms which talk about the trouble of illness. When we are healthy, we take our health away. But when we are sick, we know how troublesome it is. And the occasion when the psalmist are deserted by his friends were too afraid of the situation, and they left him. Just like Jesus' disciples. They pledged absolute loyalty to Christ, but when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, all of them went away. And there are psalms which mourn about the shortness of life. What is life but a vapor? And there are psalms which address the terror of death. Paul talks about death as the last enemy. And it is. All the psalms addresses the reality of depression. If anyone should tell you, Christians don't get depressed. They just don't know life, or they're just lying. Psalm 88 is the darkest psalm in the Psalter, without a light. 88, to the Chinese people, is a lucky number. Double lucky, right? But remember that what is double lucky in Chinese superstitions is Psalm 88, a psalm of the greatest, deepest depression. The psalmist knows the sense of loneliness, that you are alone. And the psalmist even talks about the feeling of even being deserted by God himself. Will there be a time when a true believer, a faithful believer, feel deserted by God? Answer, yes. You can be a true believer, you can be faithful to God, and the Bible says you may feel to be deserted by God, but in fact, you are not. The feelings are real. So there are plenty of downs, many valleys in the Psalms, but there are also ups in the Psalms. There are mountaintops experience in the Psalms. Praise be to God. We are told about the blessings of the life of faith. In the Psalms, we are told about the joy of sins forgiven. What can be more joyful than for us to know that our sins are all forgiven? Oh yes, there's something more joyful than you know your sins are forgiven by God when you have the blessed communion with God. When you touch base with God, so to say. When you have fellowship with God, that is even better than the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is the beginning, the foundation. The Psalms talks about the blessing of family life. Do you know where you found them? Psalm 127, Psalm 128, when mother and father have their children around the table, sharing a meal, having a Christmas dinner, playing a board game. Well, that is blessing. The blessing of family life we find in the Psalms. Well, of course, also in the Psalms, we are told about the joy of worship. But friends, you don't look terribly joyful this morning at worship. But you know there's joy in worship. When we really come to have a real encounter with the living God, the joy of worship, joy in the midst of sorrows. That's the Christian life. Joy in the midst of sorrow. Joy triumphant. Friends, victory is the last word in the Christian life. The destiny of the journey of faith is triumphant praise. Hallelujah. It's by no accident that the 150 Psalms end with a hallelujah chorus, a grand finale of hallelujah again and again and again. Psalm 88 is not the final psalm in the Psalter. Praise be to God. But before we can look at that, we must also notice that the final victory for believers in Christ is assured because Christ our Lord has come to be the captain of our soul. Unless Christ is the captain of your soul, this hallelujah is not yours. Only if you have Christ as the captain of your soul, this hallelujah will be yours. So the second point this morning is that we should highlight the fact that Christ our Lord is the captain of our soul in our journey of faith. You know, the Psalms are often called the Psalms of David because the key figure in the Psalms is King David. If you don't understand King David, you don't understand the Psalms. The key to unlock the Psalm is King David. And you must remember, first of all, King David is a human being. The book of Psalms, it is human beings responding to God in prayer and praise and supplication and cries and tears. And those responses are recorded down and inspired by the Holy Spirit in the book of Psalms. But King David was not just a human being. He was the anointed king of Israel. He was the Messiah. Anointed in Hebrew is Messiah. And because King David was the Messiah, he was attacked and persecuted. People hate God then and now. And as the king suffered, so did the people of Israel. And David was not just a human being, the Messiah. He was also a believer and a sinner still. David, he was a true believer, but he was also a sinner. And therefore, David not only suffered innocently, he suffered persecution, he was attacked because he was God's anointed one, but he also suffered because of his own sins. There are times when we, as believers in Christ, sin. And we need to go to God to confess our sins. Maybe we are even bearing the consequences of our folly and our iniquities. The Psalms are there to help us. Psalms 51, 130, 32. They're Psalms of confession of sins, and they're precious. If you don't know those Psalms, you should know them. And the people of Israel also suffered because of their own individual sins and the sins of their own nations. Well, we live in a time of pervasive individualism. We all tend to be individualistic. We don't think much about our nation, the friends, you and I, who suffer when our nation sins, when our leaders make mistakes. That's why we should pray for our leaders. If the President of America should declare war on North Korea, you and I would be involved. A young man would be caught up, just like the Second World War. The people suffer also because of the sins of the nations. But what gives us hope in the Psalm is that the Lord God had promised that King David would have a greater son to sit on the throne. David was a Messiah. And Messiah David would have a greater son, the greater Messiah. The son of David, Messiah, Jesus, shall be king. As king, the Lord Messiah shall fight the Lord's battle. As king, he shall suffer for his people. As king, he shall be victorious over all his and his people's enemies. I trust all of you know Psalm 23. But you know Psalm 22 is so important as well. Without Psalm 22, we can't have Psalm 23. How does Psalm 22 begin? It begins like this, with a cry of dereliction. The psalmist cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember, it was Jesus our Lord on the cross. In his darkest hour, he cried out with his cry of dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Psalm 22 is a prophecy about the suffering of the Messiah, about the crucifixion of the Lord Christ. And Jesus our Lord was very conscious of Psalm 22 when he was hung on the cross. And Psalm 22 is a detailed prophecy about crucifixion. Friends, if you have ever had doubts about God or the Bible or Christ, read Psalm 22. It was written 1,000 years before Jesus, and there you need to read it yourself to see how accurate, how vivid, how detailed is that prophecy. It begins with the suffering of Christ, but there's a turning point in Psalm 22. At the end of it, at verse 21, Messiah says to God, you have answered me. And then in verse 22 to 23, Messiah says to God, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You fear the Lord. Praise him. Hallelujah. Who? You're learning Hebrew, I hope. That is a promise of Jesus. Whenever we gather together, he'll be with us, and he will declare the Father's name to us, and he is treating us as his brothers and sisters. That is our expectation in worship. We come together in Jesus' name, and the Lord Jesus will be with us. He'll be the preacher, and he'll be the worship leader. He'll be the song leader, because in the midst of assembly, Jesus says 1,000 years before his birth, I will praise you. Jesus is leading us to praise God. In our singing, he's enabling us by Spirit to sing Hallelujah. All the psalms, in one way or another, point to Jesus, Messiah. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, the writer of Hebrews says about Jesus, he's the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2:10. Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Think of it like a battle. We are going to battle. We have to battle against sin, temptations, evils, eventually death itself. Christ is our captain. He's leading the way. We are told that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, he, Christ our Lord, has been made perfect through sufferings. The same word captain is translated as author. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we are told to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The same word, captain. It means a pioneer, a trailblazer. It's like someone, I can't remember his name now, but you can tell me afterward, who first passed through the Blue Mountains. I think not just one person, but a team. That team, a pioneer, crossed the great dividing range. The explorer, the pioneer, the trailblazer, a person who blazes a trail, who cut open a way for us, Christ our Lord, is that captain for our soul. The very Son of God became flesh in order to be the captain of our soul. He is to fight our battle. He is leading the way to fight sin and temptation, eventually death itself. We are told about Alexander the Great. He might have been the greatest military commander in all history. He wasn't a good man, but he was a brave man. He would go to the forefront in the battle line, going to the most dangerous places to fight the enemies. And the men who followed him, they were so encouraged. He is our captain. He's fighting in front of us. We just follow. No wonder he beat down the Persians. Because the Persian king, they have to come with the wife and the mother and the child and a hot bath after the battle. The Persian king would be sitting on top of a hill looking at the battle scene, not with Alexander. I'm going to lead, but Christ is that greater Alexander. He's a good man. He's the good God. Jesus, by his suffering and death and resurrection and ascension, has opened a new way for us so that we can approach God and call him Abba, Father. And you know, friends, in the book of the Psalms, the suffering of Jesus, his victory over sin, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, they are all depicted and predicted and mentioned and prophesied there. And in a way that we find a rapport, a connection with, because Christ is man, he's human, he's king, he's the Son of David, he's Messiah's greater son, the ultimate Messiah. He, as the captain of our soul, he has fought the battle, won the victory, and what do we do? My dear friends, we follow Jesus. We follow Jesus. When we are tempted, we look to Christ. When we are weak and in need, we look to Christ for strength. When we are fearful, we look to Christ for courage. When eventually, you and I face the last enemy, we are to look to Christ, who conquered them and rose again. Look unto Jesus all the way to the end. And the end is what? Thirdly, the end, the destiny of faith is the cosmic praise of Jehovah God. Psalms end with hallelujahs. From the whole creation, praising the Lord God for his holy and righteous judgment. Well, take down this fact if you're interested in these sort of things.
The word hallelujah only occurs 24 times in the Old Testament. The first occurrence is towards the end of the fourth book of the Psalms, Psalm 104. And then when the Psalms climbs up to its climax, Psalms 146, 150, the grand finale, every Psalm there, 146, 7, 8, 9, 10, 8, 9, yes, 10, begins with hallelujah and ends with hallelujah. You read your Bible. Psalm 146, hallelujah, hallelujah. 47, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then no more hallelujahs in your text. Until the New Testament. Take up this Hebrew word, using it, transliterate into Greek, Revelation chapter 19, with four hallelujahs. And no more. Because there will be eternal hallelujahs. Well, while we're at Psalm 150 and the grand finale of the Psalms, let me say a word or two about dance and loud music in worship. You know, we live in a time when many worship services have loud music. Some of you may like it, others of us may not be able to endure it. It may give a headache. I remember one older believer says, well, my church worship has become so loud, I can't endure it. It seems that they think God must be deaf. They have such loud music. And then increasingly, there are dances in the worship services. And people tell us, well, we need to do that because Psalm 150, look at it, Psalm 150, verse 4, it says, praise Him with what? Dance. Verse 5, praise Him with loud cymbal. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. The word clashing there means war cry. There's no getting away. That is loud, simple, loud music, warlike, aggressive, triumphant. Well, the Bible says so. Praise God with dance. Praise God with loud music. So, should we do that? So praise God with dance and loud music? Answer, yes. The Bible says so. We shall do that. Yes, but not yet. That's the first answer. Well, turn back to Psalm 149. We don't take the Bible bits and pieces. Look at the context. Look at the meaning, its full meaning. Psalm 149. Let them praise His name with the dance. No escape from that. But to praise God's name with dance. Verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in... What do we have in NIV? Let me see. Psalm 149 verse 5. Well, literally, there's in this honor, but literally, let the saints be joyful in glory. The word there's glory. Verse 5 again. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Verse 6, Psalm 149. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment His honor have all his saints. Hallelujah. Question. If we are going to praise God with dance and loud music, so we not also bring along our bed and sword, double-edged sword, chains, chaining unbelieving leaders of the nations, the president of North Korea, the president of China. They're not believers. Chain them, bring them to our worship service. Should we not do that? The Bible says so, should we do that? Answer, yes. But not yet. That's the full answer. In glory, we shall do so. The saints shall share with Christ the honor of judging all the nations. There was an American young boy, Christian boy. After service, he asked his pastor father. I know this is true because the father told me about this. The boy asked the father, "Dad, give me real guns. Two of them. I don't want to play with toy guns anymore." The father was concerned and asked the boy, "Well, why do you want real guns? You got your toy guns." He said, "I need real guns to welcome Jesus." Bang, 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 to welcome Jesus. Should he not do that? He should do that, but not yet. But not yet. When we get to the glory, we shall be friends. And dear friends, these hallelujah songs are actually a word of warning to those who believe not. For if people do not believe, if we do not persevere in faith, hallelujahs will send terror and horror to our spies on the last day. On the last day, every wrong shall be righted. Every evil shall be judged and condemned. The unbelievers, the wicked, shall be dragged in the presence of God, and they shall be judged. May be worse than the double-edged sword and iron chains. We shall do it. But friends, we must endure hardship and through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. The Psalms are here to help us. Christ is our guide and our strength by his word and spirit. And God promises the destiny is hallelujah. But you must, and I must still, persevere in faith and faithfulness until the end. And looking unto Jesus all the time and all the way. Shall we pray? Oh Lord our God, we thank you for your word. Your word is so rich, so amazing, so wonderful, so accurate. And help us, oh God, to walk by faith and to persevere in faith. We confess the weaknesses of our faith. At times, oh Lord, we are tender and we don't feel the reality of God, the truthfulness of your word, the power of the gospel, and the language. We become fearful. We compromise. We yield. Oh God, forgive us. Strengthen us. Clear our eyes that we may see the glory of Jesus. And help us to persevere, so that one day we shall join the Hallelujah chorus in glory. In Jesus' name do I pray. Amen.